Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
The 2025 Hyde Park Festival was held on March 2nd and 3rd in Perth, the capital city of Western Australia. Falun Dafa practitioners introduced the practice, told people about the ongoing persecution of Falun Dafa in China, and collected many signatures on a petition to end the brutality. They were invited to perform on stage, so they demonstrated the Falun Dafa exercises and did the Vietnamese hat dance, Chinese waist drum, and dragon dances. This annual event was hosted by the Rotary Club of North Perth and has been one of the most popular charity events in the community. There were close to 200 market stalls as well as food stalls, rides, and music and dance performances. The annual Knox Fest community celebration was held on March 1st in southeast Melbourne's Wally Tu Reserve. Falun Dafa practitioners took part in the popular event, which usually attracts over 20,000 visitors. The Tian Guo Marching Band, Waist Drum Team, and Dragon Dance Team participated, and practitioners demonstrated the Falun Dafa exercises. Some event attendees said they admired practitioners for sharing truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance through community activities.
New Zealand. Falun Dafa practitioners participated in the annual Kumu District Agricultural and Horticultural Society Festival on March 8th and 9th. The Kumu show is the largest event on New Zealand's northern island, and the fairgrounds were packed with people. There was entertainment, food, various small items for sale, agricultural products, cattle and pets on display, as well as arts and crafts. The Falun Dafa booth offered calligraphy, origami lotus flower making, traditional paper cutting, and Falun Dafa exercise instruction. Many visitors learned the exercises on the first day of the event. Stunts on motorbikes performed by daredevil artists drew shrieks from the crowd. A rope climbing competition using a single rope was continuously applauded, as well as other ongoing performances in the entertainment area. Young practitioners dressed as fairy maidens performed traditional Chinese dances. Practitioners also provided dragon dance and waist drum performances. All were warmly received by onlookers.
Yoga Festival Helsinki 2025 took place on March 1st and 2nd. The event attracted many yoga lovers as well as people who were interested in meditation and cultivation. Falun Dafa practitioners demonstrated the exercises and introduced the practice and its principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance at their booth. They also raised awareness of the CCP's ongoing persecution and state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting industry in China. Festival organizers arranged a one-hour time slot for practitioners to teach the Falun Dafa exercises in a more quiet and closed space. Everyone signed the petition against the persecution and took some truth clarification materials after the practice session ended. Many participants shared that they felt very comfortable after doing the exercises. One attendee said she was worried that she would be unable to remember the exercise movements and hoped to find someone to practice with. A local practitioner told her that there is daily Falun Dafa group exercise at Sibelius Park. She responded happily, "That park is close to my workplace."
Shenyun Performing Arts Touring Companies visited 11 cities to provide 41 performances in Australia, France, Germany, Spain, the United Kingdom, and the United States between March 3rd and 9th. The tickets of some performances were sold out well in advance, and audiences far and wide praised the shows. Prior to Shenyun's performances in Stamford, Connecticut, on March 7th through the 9th, the performing arts company received very positive support from local officials. The mayor of Stamford, Caroline Simmons, issued a proclamation that declared May 7, 2025, to be Shenyun Performing Arts Day. The mayor of nearby Ansonia issued a proclamation that declared May 7, 2025, to be Shen Yuan Day. In the autonomous community of Catalonia, Spain, the CCP strengthened its attempts at interference with Shen Yuan performances. Before the shows in the town of Sant Cugat, staff from the Chinese consulate met with governmental staff to impose pressure. Officials from the CCP had sent three letters to the theater in Sant Cugat, demanding cancellation of the performances. Both the local government and the venue resisted the pressure and refused the unreasonable demands. Local politicians made a point of attending the performances together. What's more, a member of the Catalonia Parliament, Manuel Jesus Acosta Elias, personally presented a proclamation of support to Shen Yuan. Councilor of Sant Cugat City Council, Marco Rodriguez, also saw the performance and expressed his appreciation to the performers. After seeing the performance, Member of Parliament Elias observed that Shen Yuan made people think deeply about life and shared, "We all have our own mission, I truly believe it. People should value virtue, respect others, and do everything possible to help others, even if such people have a bad life for various reasons, such as those who are persecuted for their beliefs. Their lives will not stop there. Their lives will definitely be rewarded, and this reward is eternal life, that is, heaven." The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. Miss Wang of Jilin Province took up Falun Gong in 2008 and was first arrested in 2013 while distributing informational materials about Falun Gong in the countryside. While in detention, she developed high blood pressure and fell into a coma. Due to her medical condition, she was released, but only to have the police later come to her home several times, attempting to arrest and sentence her. Miss Wang was forced to live away from home and go into hiding. In 2017, she was arrested with her daughter, Miss Jiang Fengling, also a Falun Gong practitioner, and sent to the local county detention center. During the trial, the presiding judge forbade the family from hiring lawyers and appointed one to enter a guilty plea for them. Miss Wang was sentenced to 4 years and Miss Jiang was given 2 years with a 2-year probation. Miss Wang's husband was devastated by his wife's and daughter's arrests and passed away soon after. After her release on medical grounds, the police continuously harassed her, which led to her death at the age of 52 on February 9, 2025.
Mr. Lan Wenbin of Wuhan was targeted for his faith in Falun Gong while distributing informational materials about Falun Gong to raise awareness about the 26-year-long persecution. He was reported to the police and recorded by surveillance cameras. As soon as he stepped out of his apartment building the next day, he was pushed to the ground by several officers who raided his home. After taking Mr. Lan to the police station, the police kept him handcuffed for a day and didn't give him any food or water. He asked to use the restroom several times that evening but was denied each time. The police also verbally abused him. He was left sitting on a bench overnight. The police interrogated him several times during that time. Mr. Lan was taken to the hospital the next day for a physical exam and then released. He was found to have a 5-centimeter tumor in his abdomen. After Mr. Lan returned home, police officers took turns harassing him and videotaping him. He lived in fear and died on January 11, 2025. He was 77 years old.
A 59-year-old woman of Liaoning Province was arrested 2 weeks ago for her faith in Falun Gong. Miss Zhu Yuan is currently being held at a detention center. Prior to her latest arrest, she previously served 8 years behind bars where she was brutally tortured and given toxic drugs. She developed a mental disorder as a result, but managed to gradually recover after she was released from prison. In the early 2000s, she was taken to a brainwashing center set up by her workplace, but she still refused to renounce Falun Gong, resulting in her being fired shortly after. Due to the pressure of the persecution, her then-husband divorced her. Miss Zhu later married Mr. Huang Lijong, also a Falun Gong practitioner. Unfortunately, he was arrested and tortured to death in prison at the age of 45.
Mr. Miao Zhengguo, a former electrician, was again arrested in August for his faith in Falun Gong. Due to police intimidation, his family did not hire a lawyer. Mr. Miao has served since the start of the persecution, a total of 8.5 years of combined labor and jail terms. Following one of his first arrests, his 8-month pregnant wife, also a Falun Gong practitioner, was so distressed that she suffered placental abruption, resulting in the unborn child's death. She was never able to carry a baby again. During another of Mr. Miao's lengthy detentions, his mother died of grief in 2009, and then 3 years later, his father passed away in a car crash, which he only found out after his release a year later. In 2022, his wife, after enduring years of persecution while Mr. Miao was still detained, passed away in a nursing home. Here is a quote from Mr. Miao. "For 26 years, just because I refused to renounce my faith in Falun Gong, I suffered all kinds of persecution, including losing my job, my parents, my wife, and my child. I was detained and tortured. Now, in my senior years, I live a destitute life and struggle to make ends meet. This is the hard reality I'm facing. I hope that such a tragedy doesn't happen to any other person and that the persecution of Falun Gong stops immediately."
Falun Gong practitioners raise awareness of persecution near human body exhibition in Denmark. A German company held a human body exhibition in several Danish cities from early November 2024 to early March 2025. Danish parliamentarians, government officials in the cities where the exhibitions were held, mainstream media, venue providers, and ordinary people all expressed grave concern about the source of the corpses, since that information was conspicuously absent. All of the bodies were of Asian descent. On February 28th, the Danish newspaper Christian Daily carried a front-page article that raised the matter of the exhibition's specimen sources titled, "Dead Bodies Are on Display in Danish Cities. No One Can Answer Where They Come From." The newspaper stated that Falun Gong, a religious group from China, has been persecuted in China for 25 years. The group has a lot of evidence to prove that thousands of Falun Gong practitioners have been detained in the CCP's prisons for adhering to their beliefs, and a large number of practitioners have been tortured. In 2006, it was discovered that many practitioners had their organs harvested alive and trafficked. Many Danish people said they were worried that human specimens on display were from Chinese prisoners. Thomas Karup, the director of health, culture, and care in the city of Randers, wrote in a message to his city's government authorities, "The exhibition has been criticized in several places because of doubts that the bodies were not all donated voluntarily and for a clear purpose. Since the exhibition company failed to provide legal documentation verifying the source of the bodies, the exhibition hall Arena Randers decided on February 28th not to rent the space for the body exhibition, preventing the event from taking place in the city." In a city where the exhibition did take place, Falun Gong practitioners told people about forced organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience in China, and offered an opportunity to sign a petition against the crime. Practitioners also highlighted a past investigation by the organization World Organization to Investigate the Persecution of Falun Gong, which sought to determine the source of corpses used in China's plastination human specimen industry in 2008. A disclaimer on the exhibition company's website stated, "The remains of Chinese citizens or residents exhibited in this exhibition come from the Chinese police. A similar disclaimer was made by another such company, First Exhibition Company. It said that the remains of Chinese citizens or residents on display in an exhibition come from the Chinese police, who may have obtained the bodies from Chinese prisons. The company Premier Exhibition admitted that it could not independently confirm that the bodies shown were not from those detained in Chinese prisons. After seeing the exhibition, many people signed the petition. Many people also asked what more they could do to help. A practitioner said, "Your signature is a support for us. You can tell your friends and relatives that the CCP persecutes Falun Gong practitioners and other innocent people, and harvests human organs on a large scale and in an organized manner to make huge profits. The bodies in this exhibition might be from prisoners of conscience in China. Let more people know the truth and we can stop the persecution in China as soon as possible."
Escalating attacks on Xinyun condemned in the UK and US. Xinyun Performing Arts concluded its 2025 tour of the UK that began early this year. There were 51 sold-out shows that received great reviews. During performances in Woking and Llandudno, however, the organizers and theaters received emails threatening terrorist attacks in the theaters. The venues promptly notified the police, who strengthened security measures at once and initiated strict security checks to ensure the shows ran smoothly. The British government took these threats seriously, and the Prime Minister's office swiftly directed the Foreign Affairs Office and related departments to issue a response. Many members of Parliament asked the government to act promptly to handle the matter during the weekly parliamentary session. In a letter dated March 5th, Security Minister Dan Jarvis replied to a member of Parliament, "Any attempt to intimidate, harass, or harm individuals or communities in the UK will not be tolerated. We continually assess potential threats in the UK and take protection of individuals' rights, freedoms, and safety very seriously. Through the work of our police and intelligence services, we are committed in tackling such threats. If any of your constituents have concerns for their safety or believe a crime has been committed, I would advise them to contact their local police force." Minister Jarvis continued, "The UK government also champions freedom of religion and belief for all abroad. We work to uphold the right to freedom of religion or belief. Recently, the Prime Minister, Foreign Secretary, and Chancellor all raised the topic of human rights with their counterparts, President Xi, Foreign Minister Wang, and Vice Premier He, respectively. I hope this provides reassurance to you and your constituents that the government takes the safety and security of the Xinyun performers and their audience very seriously." In the U.S., the American conservative website Town Hall condemned the CCP's escalated attacks on Xinyun. On February 28th, Brian Taff wrote an article which pointed out that the CCP's attacks on the performing arts company in the United States have escalated from a media war to a terrorist threat. The article reads, "For years, the Chinese Communist Party has sought to discredit Xinyun, an emblem of free cultural expression, through a relentless campaign of media manipulation and ideological distortion. A recent bomb threat at the Kennedy Center marks a new, dangerous chapter in that assault. This is not simply an attack on a performance. It is a stark escalation from propaganda to the threat of actual violence, signaling that even on American soil, our cherished cultural symbols are not immune to authoritarian intimidation." Mr. Taff continued, "This latest incident must serve as a wake-up call for all who cherish freedom. It is not enough to condemn disinformation or propaganda. We must also confront the physical threats that increasingly accompany these tactics. When regimes as expansive and ruthless as the CCP or the Islamic Republic resort to such measures, they demonstrate a willingness to use fear as a weapon against those who have sought refuge from tyranny. The bomb threat is not just an isolated incident. It is part of a broader strategy designed to intimidate, divide, and ultimately undermine the values that define us as Americans." He then offered a warning and said, "In an era marked by information warfare and covert operations, complacency is tantamount to surrender. We must remain ever vigilant and united in our defense of free expression, cultural heritage, and national sovereignty. Our response must be as resolute as it is informed, a clarion call to protect our nation's legacy and to ensure that freedom in every form prevails.
Documentary Letter from Masanja touches audience in South Korea. The documentary film Letter from Masanja was screened at the Hyundai Culture Center in the city of Busan on February 18th. This was the 11th free show in the film's national tour. The documentary tells how Julie Keith, a housewife living in Oregon, USA, found a letter written by Falun Dafa practitioner Mr. Sun Yi when he was detained in Masanja labor camp. The letter was hidden inside Halloween decorations she purchased in 2012. Mr. Sun was an engineer who was arrested in 2008 for practicing Falun Dafa and was incarcerated in the notorious Masanja labor camp. The letter read, "Sir, if you purchase this product, please help forward this letter to the international human rights organizations. Thousands of people who are persecuted by the Chinese Communist Party government here will always thank and remember you." Julie Keith uploaded the letter to social media, drawing attention from international media and the international community. Mr. Sun risked his life to put more than 20 handwritten letters appealing for help into the decorations that were produced in the Masanja forced labor camp. And later, the letter was the fuse that ignited the end of the CCP forced labor camp system, said to have been abolished in 2013. At the least, the letters Mr. Sun enclosed in products made at the Masanja labor camp raised awareness of the CCP's brutality against prisoners of conscience. After the audience watched the 75-minute documentary, many said they were indignant about the CCP's atrocities. Mr. Sun's sincere wish for people to live a peaceful life, and his words, "Justice will eventually prevail over evil," resonated strongly with them, and some wept. When the news of Mr. Sun's death from sudden acute renal failure came at the end of the movie, many people sighed. Some viewers wiped away tears as they walked out of the theater. Some asked for the film to be screened in their areas. Many people actively participated in the hashtag campaign, uploading photos and leaving messages about the film on social media. Event attendee Sui Leong-ing choked up and said, "I just came here to watch casually, but when I heard the news that Sun Yi died 2 months later, I couldn't help crying. Freedom is like air. Everyone should have it, but how precious is the value of freedom? It can connect people and help us resonate with each other. This movie made me deeply realize this. I hope more people can see this movie. Let those who are suffering get attention. Let more truths be revealed, and more people can be free. I will recommend this movie to everyone I know."
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.